You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
Before the holiday, this was the news story around here that led everybody and everything. And so this has been revisited. These people are looking into everything. And it's going to go on forever. 3 years of audits are forthcoming. So whatever bombs to be dropped, I don't know. We've already understood the severity of this problem. We've talked to the reporter on the story, and will again, Jennifer Pignolet from the Commercial Appeal. Dorsey Hobson, who's the head of this operation, the superintendent, and Mr. Mackin, who is the principal of Tresvant, who broke this wide open, I guess, with his allegations last year. So now it gets down deep and dirty into how far this goes. The Shelby County DA, Amy Weirich, is on the fringes of this now, and which indicates that potentially there are criminal elements in this situation, as there were in Atlanta. So they're going to dig now. There are 9 schools involved. How many more are there? That's the question. And they are asking some very simple questions about this, elementary questions, steps 1, 2, 3, and 4 about, you know, what the problems are. So they will get into this, and we'll get more about this as time goes by. All the doings about the Trump situation, you can find them anywhere. I am already weary of talking about this, but it is a gigantic story that it almost seems surreal. They attempted to block the book Fire and Fury. Lawsuits, cease and desist. Mr. Trump seems to think that he's the boss of everybody now just because he's the president. He's not. And they told him to stick it and release the book 4 days early. That was their response. So the book sold out overnight in New York. Amazon, number one. They're printing more constantly. And this story has just begun. So we got that going on, and the Jeff Sessions pot thing, which is simply a distraction from the fact that Trump wants him out. And so Sessions, I guess, yesterday morning did this little thing about marijuana and rescinding a previous law. But it's going nowhere. These states are not going to listen to him. The mayors of various cities have already told him to stick it pretty much. His little statements mean nothing, and no one takes the man seriously. He did this, it seems like, in advance of the story that Trump is highly irate and still and has been from the get-go because Sessions recused himself from the investigation about Russia, which means he has something to hide. Had he not done that, it wouldn't have looked as bad at the time. As more time goes by, it looks bad that he won't say anything. So the best option, it seems, for Trump is to get this a-hole out of here and get him off the books, which may mean that he might start to chirp then. But then somebody would find him dead in a river down there someplace, and that wouldn't be good. So all this stuff is connected, and it's up to you to how far you want to know about it or get into it. But it is your country and your government, and these people have forgotten that they work for us, not the other way around. And they're screwing up the country and the world. And it's crazy, 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 and getting crazier. So that, and then all the computers are messed up. You need to read up on this, and the story is everywhere. Let's find one of these current ones, Sid, and put it up on Facebook and on the Drake in the Morning page. They're everywhere. But likely, if you have Microsoft or whatever you have, your provider or whatever it's called has a patch and a fix for it that will update itself sometime today, likely. So that's all you can do.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be a complete 100% guarantee of safety from these vulnerabilities being exploited, but it's really the best that's going to be available. So,
well, the only saving grace to me is that they've known about this, which means it's been in effect for months.
Right, and no big disasters have happened.
I do notice, though, that going to, you know, sites like, you know, the some of these news sites are really bad about pop-ups, and on occasion I'll get that warning. This computer has been, you know, taken over by the, you know, by right. some, and, you know, pay this money, call this number. And that comes from CNN a lot. It comes from, you know, news sites that have all these ads and pop-ups and stuff, and they generate these warnings. That seems to be more frequent. But almost every news site, even sites like Channel 5, Channel 3, they're damn near impossible to navigate because of the never-ending ads on there and pop-ups that make getting any information from it almost impossible. Because stuff keeps coming up and videos start playing. I don't need all of that. ESPN site is one of the worst at it. I'm there to find a score. And I don't want to see a video of the highlights. And it just starts up with no prompting. So that's why I tend to spend a lot less time on this thing than I used to. On my phone, I got, you know, sports scores if I want them. I have no news apps on my phone because I get enough. There's enough of that stuff every morning in my life. I don't need more of it all day long. Unless, and I usually stop at 5:30 to watch Lester Holt to see what their take is on it. That's after I've been at the gym and watched two TVs at once, one on Fox, one on CNN, to see who's being the most real, the most accurate, or the most agendaed and the biggest liars. So, and that usually is an easy win there. But who knows? So all these things are out there. Find them if you wish, but don't blow off this thing about your computer. At least pay attention to it and see what's up. Alex Trebek is okay. He had brain surgery. Who knew? Maybe it'll make him less of an arrogant, sanctimonious prick. And maybe he'll give back that guy's money over gangsters and gangstas.
Yes.
You know, I heard a brother on some sports talk show yesterday, African-American fella, former NFL player, really a smart dude, who was talking about this. And he said there is a distinct difference in a gangster and a gangsta.
Is there?
That's what he said.
Did he elucidate?
Well, he implied, I don't know if he was trying to be funny or not, but he implied, and you can make of this what you will, he said the ER on the end of a word or the A on the end of a word, depending upon the word, can certainly change the meaning. And he was implying the use of the N-word. And it was a very uncomfortable moment on the program. Because at first I thought, what are you? And then I went, oh, I see what he's saying. And then the other guys on the show got really uptight and wanted to move along. But anyway.
So he's saying it's ER if you're a white gangster, like, say, in the Al Capone.
Perhaps. Vibe. But a gangsta is a thug in the Crips. I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't.
Nor do I care. But I don't understand what he's talking about. But, well, no, I mean, I did. His main point was the N-word. And the difference is in ER and A on the end of that.
Oh, okay.
Because you watch this new Chappelle thing, and the one that ends in A is just a part of the way he talks. He doesn't say the N-word in a hateful, mean-spirited way. He's a black man. He can. That's his choice. But it's just part
the
of
the language. Not that he is a black man.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. He had no choice in that either. Although his mother is half white, you learn in the show. Yeah. If you want to laugh this weekend, go to Netflix. There are two new Chappelle specials. They're back to back. The one that runs first is in a theater and was extremely funny. A little bit crude at times, but it is what it is. And then the other one is in a club. So that's going on. The Golden Globes are this weekend. This begins the awards season. Now, it's getting more difficult all the time to watch these award shows. The Grammys this year are going to be irrelevant to many people. There's nothing. What was the one or two rock references that we found?
The Grammys?
We can't even think of one. It's already kind of a foregone conclusion that either Jay-Z, but likely Kendrick Lamar, will win the best album for Damn. And the rest of it, I guess Ed Sheeran and these little guys will be up for something. There were a few things that were the Foo Fighters up for something?
The Best Rock Performance has run by the Foo Fighters as one of the nominees, along with Chris Cornell's Promise.
That's right.
Kaleo's That's right. No Good.
That's right.
Nothing More, and Leonard Cohen's You Want It Darker.
Excuse me. Yes, that's right. Those are the ones that were relevant, I guess. We've played The Promise here a lot, and the Cohen, too. So those things will maybe get a nod, maybe not. Cohen ought to get something. That last album was just incredible. He died last year, too. Right? Or 2 years? I can't keep up. Anyway, the Golden Globes. Now, if you've been to these movies, I'll be surprised. They show locally a little bit for a few weeks, and then they're gone. But most people do not go to movies that are smart. They go to movies about superheroes and people wearing spandex and I don't know. Best Motion Picture, Call Me By Your Name. Don't know it. Dunkirk, I watched it. I thought it was boring. The subject matter is true. It's a World War II film that should have been, could have been an epic. It was beautifully done as far as how it looked, but it was just not the epic it should have been. It was a snooze, and sorry. The Post is a big film with Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks, based upon the events of the Washington Post with Kay Graham and Ben Bradley during the Pentagon Papers. I want to see. It's supposed to be great, and it is. They're the biggest names in this thing, and I don't know. The Post opened on Christmas Day, didn't it? I don't think it's being that well attended because it's a smart movie for grown-ups who don't go to the theater. The Shape of Water, I've heard good things about. I saw an HBO thing on the three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri that looks incredible. That one is going to be discussed. That was under drama. And the Golden Globes tends to kind of overcomplicate this. Best picture, comedy or musical, The Disaster Artist, Get Out, The Greatest Showman with Hugh Jackman about the circus, I, Tanya, and I've heard the most, I guess, this year about Lady Bird, which I want to see. It looks great, and the reviews for it were fantastic. But that's two categories of the best picture. And then you have the actors and actresses. Meryl Streep for The Post, and so on. Michelle Williams, All the Money in the World. Miss McDormand, Frances, who she is so great, in Three Billboards. The actors in the drama, Day-Lewis, his last film, Phantom Thread, getting great reviews, and he is one of the best actors on the planet, and he says he's done. He's retiring, and we'll see. Tom Hanks for The Post. I also want to see this movie, which did not get picked for any of the best. It isn't in the drama category. It's a movie about Winston Churchill called The Darkest Hour. And by all accounts, Gary Oldman is unbelievable in this movie as Churchill. So that's in the theaters. And Denzel Washington, one of the best actors alive. Roman J. Israel Esquire, I've never heard of the movie. I don't know if it's out, if it came out, who knows. So a number of these films, all of those aforementioned, I don't know anybody who has seen any of them. So that suggests that this show will maybe not get very good ratings. Although that's the show where they have all the actors out there and they all drink and then they all get stupid. And there'll be lots of talk this year about harassment and women who plan to wear black. There's some kind of a plan to wear black and all of that. So I don't really want to watch a show about activism. I want to watch the show about the movies and filmmaking. But this is going to be turned into a march. And not that it shouldn't, but I think that they're setting themselves up to have a show that's either boring, because you really can't make light of this stuff. It's way too soon, and it'll always be too soon.
Yes.
So this is going to end up being eh, or it may be good. The host is Seth Meyers, right?
Yes.
And so he's going to have to walk a really fine line there, too. But you're going to have the same people up there reading off these prompters, and it's going to be a bore.
But on the subject of the movies themselves, Sally wrote in to say, absolutely see Lady Bird and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, M.O. Excellent and excellent, she says. She wrote in before Christmas to say that that was that latter one, the Three Billboards one, was one on her radar that she was going to go see.
Yeah, I am just dying to see that movie, and I will at some point. So thank you, ma'am, for that endorsement. Anything else important? TV, best TV series drama, The Crown, Game of Thrones, The Handmaid's Tale, Stranger Things from Netflix, which a lot of people saw. There are two seasons of that. The first one was, it was mainly kid actors, and that can be a tenuous situation because they're young. They're new to acting. Season two was much, much better because they kind of came of age and they learned more about it. And that was the biggest series, I guess, on Netflix, along with Ozark in the last year. So that one is up. This Is Us is also up for best TV series drama. None of those are on network television, right? The actors and actresses include they're all from cable shows. The actors, Liv Schreiber is up for Ray Donovan. Interesting show. Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul. Jason Bateman, who is remarkable in Ozark. Best thing he's ever done. Best TV series, comedy, or musical. Blackish, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Master of None, Smilf, and Will and Grace, which is on NBC and came back this year to much acclaim, and on and on and on. It's on the internet. Our Sid can put it up on the Facebook. He'll put a link on the website if you care about this. And I wonder if anybody does. We're going to find out come this weekend. TV, speaking of TV, the Sci-Fi Channel has ordered a new series based upon the novella Night Flyers by George R.R. Martin. So I guess Game of Thrones people can, now that's not going to be back this year. 2019 is when it'll be returning to television. But Night Flyers is an 80s novella made into a film of the same name in 1987. Are you hip to that?
Yes.
Is it good?
It was I haven't read the novella, I have to say, but I remember seeing the film back then and enjoying it.
It's about eight maverick scientists and a powerful telepath who travel aboard a ship called the Night Flyer to the edge of the solar system to try to contact alien life. No word on when the show will debut. They could find alien life just walking the streets around here. If you like shows like this and you're on the Netflix kick, like many people are, The Magicians, if you haven't watched that, it also takes some time to get used to. I finished up season one. This was a Sci-Fi Channel production. I don't think that it ran on Sci-Fi because of the language and the adult content in some cases. But it's one of those things that kind of grows on you. It's not about magicians as it relates to, you know, card tricks. It's about mystics and travelers and different realms of magic in life that's in books and in movies and has been forever in fairy tales. But it puts it on a level that makes it seem possible that anything can happen. And those sorts of things to me are really interesting. The actors are all young, I guess, mid-20s people. All of them unknowns, but they're all incredibly good. Some of them are annoying, I think, by design. But the last two shows, it got really, really interesting. And then season two, they put it up last weekend. And it's very complicated. Lots of time traveling back and forth and witches and spells and princesses and fairies. It is shot beautifully. It's extremely pretty, very colorful, and the magic and things flying around. And then it gets real serious. And they kind of keep it down to earth with some bad language, lots of drinking and doing drugs to enhance the experience of it's a real amalgam of different components in the show that make it interesting to watch. And so that's on Netflix. 13 shows in season one, and I guess the same number in season two. So that one, if you like sci-fi stuff, and I never have, this one, though, got me, and I watch it, and it gets better with every show. So look into that this weekend if you want to find something to do. And just to laugh, watch Dave Chappelle. What else did I make here? Yeah, people are bitching about, and maybe with some reason, Hoda Kotb, who is a very, very likable lady. And she's been on the Today Show on and off over the years. She fought and won her battle with breast cancer. She's very, very likable. And not as phony as many of these folks on these bad TV shows. And as you probably have heard now, she was picked to be the replacement for Matt Lauer. And so that means that television show is hosted now by three women. And they throw in Billy Bush. He's gone. Who's that other chode? What's his name?
I'll have to look. I don't ever watch Today.
We turned it on here this morning to watch the author of the new book, Willie Geist. He's on there. Matt Lauer, it says here, is reportedly involved with the show still. He's sending notes to producers, giving them feedback they haven't asked for. And they wish he would go the F away. The complaining about this, I think this is, it looks bad on the face of it. He was making $25 million a year. Hoda is going to make $7 million. And so everybody is yelling, discrimination. He was there for 25 years.
Right.
He didn't start out making $25 million. Calm down. So she does 2 hours of that. Then they have the hour with Megyn Kelly. And that's awful. And then Kathy Lee Gifford, can't somebody put her to sleep? Not kill her, but just put her to sleep for about 10 years.
So she doesn't have to find a new friend and keep the show going.
Yeah, it's just impossible to take. But Hoda is cool, and she is eternally cheery and nice and polite to people and not a phony. So she's doing the show from 7 to 9. And then does the fourth hour with Kathy Lee or whatever her name is. So at some point she'll make some more dough. Calm down. This is not about her, you know, sex. But Matt was there for 25 years, so he made more money than she did. Justin Timberlake is back in the news. Memphis boy that we all like. His new song came out. It's called Filthy. Well, that's good. So he's keeping it classy. And a video last night, we haven't heard the song. I may try to pull it up and see if it's here. The album's called Man of the Woods. Will be out in about a month. The video is on someplace everywhere. It's supposed to be futuristic looking. All right. And there'll be a new video every week beginning the 18th of this month till the album hits the stores.
Okay.
Guns N' Roses, big tour. The boys that had to kind of get sobered up, get a grip. Get their karma in line and get their all their chakra and stuff working and stop doing heroin and being drunk all the time. And so they did. And they, Not In This Lifetime was the name of their tour, which has made $475 million in ticket sales.
Cool.
The fourth highest grossing tour of all time.
Wow.
Wow. Worth it. They sounded great. We saw them in Little Rock.
The tour resumes in Europe this June. McCartney, Paulie, that keeps going strong. Man, this guy is just amazing. He's putting the touches on his next album, wrapping it up. Paul hasn't had a hit record in a long time. He's had some good songs, but nobody plays them because he did some really lame stuff for a while. But then he got involved with Dave Grohl and did that record and worked with some other people like Kanye West, which upped his profile and kind of hipped him up, like Paul McCartney needs to be hipped up. But he's doing some new stuff, and we'll see. But he's still touring and doing just great. The Right Rev, our good friend Dr. Whalen, will join us. The Right Rev will speak his piece. And here for your thought process into the break, before we do this and before Ken gets here, kids in first grade, makes them six, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Pay attention to this, and I'll read it slowly. And this is taking the internet by storm, and something does every day. And we'll give you the answer in a while. There was in his classroom, a puzzle of the week was introduced by the teacher. And the teacher proposed this riddle. And everybody was puzzled by the puzzle of the week, but this one kid got it. Somebody should mark his name down now and keep it for the future. The teacher is Brett Turner. And the boy's name isn't even printed here. Here's the riddle. I am the beginning of everything, the end of everywhere. I'm the beginning of eternity, the end of time and space. What am I? This kid in question guessed death. And a somber hush fell over the class. Well, in fact, nobody got it, but we'll tell you what the answer was in a few minutes. One more time. I am the beginning of everything, the end of everywhere. I am the beginning of eternity, the end of time and space. What am I? We'll do a break and come back and tell you what the answer is.
Don't go looking it up on the Google machine.
Just don't cheat. Sleep, so important. I saw a new thing last night because there's one about every few days about how sleep is so important to you to reboot your brain every day and keep yourself healthy and all that stuff. And it truly is a fact. The Sleep Number bed helps you with that. We've had one for over a decade at my house, and it's just the best. My number is 100. They're unique in how they feel. You can change your setting to firmer or softer. Now they have beds that will sense your every move as you sleep and adjust automatically so you stay comfy throughout the night. They have a way to set it for snoring. You can raise your head up and not be a snoring person. So right now, during the sale at all three stores, and it's only at their stores, Saddle Creek and Wolf Chase and in South Haven, Stop in and ask about it. They have the lowest prices now of the season. Couples' beds are marked down as low as well. There is money off up to $700. Go by one of the stores or to the website, sleepnumber.com, for further information. I would love to see this man win something for the Grammys, which are on, what, in February? Remember this song from this album right before and right after he passed away? He knew it was coming and wrote some songs like this. Not really upbeat rock and roll, but a poet for the ages, Leonard Cohen.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
As somebody who lives in South Haven, which is just a suburb of Memphis and is more now like Whitehaven, but it's in Mississippi, which makes it all the difference in the world. Well, not really, but kind of. But I heard this, and you know, if you live down there, and this is not the fault of anybody, I guess. Well, no, it's not, because nobody foresaw the growth south of here 20 years ago. I was in South Haven one time 20 years ago when we did some kind of a broadcast at the Walmart down there. And at the time, all I remember was how this vast, you know, wasteland of stuff, there was a Walmart and a Steak and Shake. And I went, man, this is great. Lots of open, you know, farmland and stuff. Well, I've been there now for 15 years, I guess, something like that. And the growth is it's out of control with malls and houses and especially traffic, because nobody planned for this. And Goodman Road being the main
drag.
It's just the main road that everything is off of or leads to. It goes from Horn Lake to South Haven to Olive Branch and then on down to, you know, wherever it goes. Church Road runs parallel to it, as does State Line Road. And so when you live there, you learn the back ways, the back roads, because driving on Goodman Road, I think, is really even worse than driving on Poplar, except that it's wider. And on Poplar, if you drive a big truck, it could end up, you know, with your mirrors hitting somebody else's, and it's really uncomfortable, and it's too tight. Goodman Road, though, doesn't really have any room to grow. There's nowhere to put anything. And that was short-sighted by somebody. But on that main drag from Airways down to, let's say, Getwell, it's a bitch. And people aren't paying attention. They're stupid. They're on their phones laying back. And you got people trying to get places. Then you have those that don't care and are going 20 miles an hour on their phone texting. Then you throw in the trucks and that traffic, and it can be really, really a mess. And there are many places to go, lots of great restaurants, shopping things that weren't there 10 years ago or 20 years ago. The Tangerine Mall is now on Church Road, and that's a never-ending cluster over there, even though it's been expanded and makes it easier to navigate a little bit going up and down Goodman Road. So all that being said, with all this growth, and there are new strip malls heading down to Olive Branch, there's just not that much room for anything else. At Goodman and Getwell is where the Kroger is, and down Getwell to the south, a bunch of new strip malls, some great restaurants, Snowden Grove, and new subdivisions and things like that. Right across down there from the fire station and places like that are just some open fields, because that's an area still where, you know, you can drive past a mall, then the next property is a bunch of cows, which is pretty cool. But that's about to all be over with. This came on the news last night. First I've heard of it, and I guess we're going to have to get our friend Darren Musselwhite, who is the mayor of that city, up here to discuss this and to see how South Haven's doing going into 2018. A project unlike anything South Haven has ever seen is one step closer to reality. Now, if you live down there, you got to check this out, because I can't imagine Unless they're going to put in, you know, light rail or something to get people around, this is going to be, this is a thing called Silo Square. And if you'd lived down there, you'd know that there is an old silo down there on Getwell. This project is a $200 million place, like a big, you know, court square, like Oxford has, like many, many towns have. It's a massive project that'll be based around our, this 100-year-old silo and built on 228 acres on Getwell between Goodman and Nail Roads. Now, there's plenty of, you know, space there, and I guess that they bought this because that property, I've always been told, was worth a lot of money. Well, somebody bought it, I guess, this is written about in the Memphis Business Journal. Groundbreaking comes in the next few months. The entire thing will be done, though, for 7 to 8 years. That's how big of an, this is a big project. 700,000 square feet, 130 apartments, two hotels, a grocery store, many restaurants, and some retail and office space. Now, I'm trying to figure, how do you put this in there and how do you accommodate the traffic that is going to come from this? They likely, well, they surely have a plan. Otherwise, you're asking for, I mean, gridlock like in L.A. or in Manhattan or something. This is this sounds really nice, but logistically, this sounds like a nightmare. Hopefully, I'm wrong. Brian Hill, don't know Brian. He's from down there, and he wanted to be a part of this, and so he is. He's going to get this piece of land. It came along. He's going to build on it, and there we go. The Board of Aldermen have approved this at its meeting on Tuesday. That was done, and the land will be bought and sold and done in March. Hard to tell, it says, how many jobs it'll create. Why is it hard? If you're going to have restaurants, grocery stores, hotels, I would say a lot, as in hundreds. Now, the silo will be kept preserved. It'll be the main feature of this thing with the logo painted on the roof, Silo Square. So 7-8 years. First of all, that means 7-8 years of construction.
Right, and the traffic with that.
And everybody that knows Getwell and Goodman knows that it is a traffic mess, even though they added some lanes, fixed the light timing, kind of. I just can't imagine what's going to ensue down there when they do this. So we'll try to get Darren on the show. It's about time for him to come on anyway and talk about South Haven, since South Haven becomes more and more just a, you know, add-on to Memphis. It's just this area south of the city across the state line. So we'll look forward to seeing him. Want to get our buddy Kevin Kane on to discuss the events happening downtown with the expansion of the convention center down there and other things going on, which we'll do. Harry's Razors had a great year last year, and they're just going to get bigger this year because the word spreads and men have stopped buying these cheap razors, these overpriced things, and are buying ones that are quality and less expensive, and that is Harry's. They offer these sets. They want you to try one because they know you'll like it. Many guys have from this area, and they've heard it on the show, and so they want to keep doing it. The concept is simple. It's a better handle. It's ergonomic. The razors are just more precise and sharp. Five little blades combined on top to shave you smoothly, and it's just a good deal all the way around. You get this free trial set. All you pay for is shipping. It comes with a handle, the blades, a trimmer blade on top for your sideburns and your mustache and such, the rich shave gel, the travel blade cover, all of that with the guarantee that you will like it. All you pay for is shipping. So you'll love it. We're pretty sure of that. They're going to also throw in the post-shave balm, also free. Harry's.com is where you go. Use the code DRAKE at checkout, and it'll come to your house. pretty cool. It's free. You pay shipping, and it's there. Harrys.com. Use the code Drake. Back with Reverend Whalum's commentary after this.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.